Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Life is full of little surprises for most people, particularly when the postman calls at breakfast time. Well, he never surprises me. I know what I'm going to get. Another tax demand that says pay in 7 days or we'll have all the furniture removed, including the bath. Or a bill from the garage for repairing the parts on the car that broke down again the day afterwards, you know. However, someone who is in for some surprising mail is Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
Who is it?
Able Seaman Johnson.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, give the code knock, then.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, it is you.
Of course it is, Chief. Nobody else knows the code.
No, neither do you, you gormless gasometer. Hey, what's that you got there, then?
The ship's mail.
Inside? Has it been sorted?
Yeah. I've been through it, and there are no registered letters, and only one that might have money in it.
Show me.
Here you are.
Right. Switch the big light on whilst I hold it up to the light.
Nah, not a sign.
Here, you're going to give it the Uter test?
Naturally. No, there's no Bank of England notepaper in there.
Well, that's it then, isn't it?
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? Stone me. This is right, isn't it? The crew must be getting their little presents from home smuggled in some other way. You know, if I don't know who had a little windfall in the post, how do I know who to try and borrow from?
I reckon they tumble there. You always seem to know exactly how much to ask for and who's got it. Taffy said it was blooming uncanny.
Did he?
Oh, I just remember, Chief, there is one letter I didn't look at.
Hey? Well, why didn't you say so? Who's it for?
You. It's probably from one of your relatives, because it's from prison.
Yeah, well, that's quite... Hey? What are you talking about?
Prison.
From where?
Prison it's from. It's got the crest stamped on the back, see? HMP and a sort of crown on it.
Johnson, it may surprise you to know that there are people in the world who happen to have the initials HMP and crests on their envelopes who aren't in the nick.
Very likely, but my bet is that HMP on an envelope to you isn't from one of them. It's from the nick.
Well, that's where you're wrong, see? It so happens that this is from a certain milady acquaintance of mine who is straight out of the top drawer.
Did she fall or was she pushed?
You know. You must know, this is from the Honourable Melissa Plankworthy. A well-connected member of society and a very spraunzy bint to boot.
With a name like that, she'd have to be, wouldn't she? Here, how did you come to meet her then, Chief?
Well, she copped a puncture in her bike, you see, when she was in the Gosport High Street, and I lent her me chewing gum to get her home.
Oh, well, I suppose that's what the letter is. She sent it back.
Yeah, naturally. But what are you talking about? Of course it isn't.
Well, perhaps it's a reward.
Johnson, when a Pertwee assists a damsel in distress, he doesn't expect or look for... There you are. Not a flaming sausage. Here, look, that's typical, isn't it? That's typical of the political dictatorials, isn't it? There, my last bit of chewing gum. And all I get's an invitation to the Northampton All Sound Area's annual hunt ball and get together. It's a bit much, isn't it? An invitation to what?
I think it's your coming out party, Jim.
Stone me. An hunt ball. Oh, that's going to involve a bit of rapid tailoring for somebody, that is, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, if you're going to do a thing, do it right and proper. That's what I say.
Yeah, I know you do. I've been done right and proper ever since I knew you.
Yeah, and you will be again if I don't shut up. Now, look, Now, where's John's he going to get a set of hunting pinks on the cheap?
Hunting waters?
Pinks! You know what pinks are, don't you?
Pinks?
Yeah, pinks. You know, the red coat and the white bloomers and the shiny boots and all that. And the old hard hat and the swisher for my nag, you know.
You're going to walk through the docks wearing that little lot, it ought to start something. I can hear the lads off the other ships now. Stand well back, here she comes. Matt Dillon of Portsmouth is rolling into town.
You shut up. That'll do.
This way to see the ringmaster. The Liberty Horses is right behind.
Cork up, you barrel of lard. Cork up. You can chop all you like, Johnson. You can chop. But Pertwee's going to the hunt ball, no matter what it costs.
If I know you, it's no matter who it costs.
Yeah, that's a point, isn't it?
How am I going to get to Northampton anyway? I'm skint.
Well, platform ticket as usual, I suppose.
No, I've been to Northampton before. No, the lad with the brass buttons on his waistcoat and the little up by the exit knows me.
What station doesn't?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
There must be a way, mustn't there? There must be a way, there must be a way.
Good morning, sir. Anything in the mail?
No, nothing unusual, Mr. Phillips. There's the customary long letter from Mrs. Blodwyn Goldstein asking when her clever son Taffy is going to be made a leading seaman.
You know, I think he writes those himself.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Just lately, they've been coming in envelopes marked OHMS and franked from HMS Troutbridge.
I say, that's a bit much, isn't it? I mean, you think he could afford a Thrupney stamp.
Well, this letter explains that. It says that if he was a leading seaman, he could.
Incidentally, sir, I suppose you don't happen to know if Wren Cornwall is on duty this morning, do you, sir?
Mr. Phillips, in case you hadn't noticed, this particular uniform indicates I'm a lieutenant in the Royal Navy, not a second officer in the Wrens. I am therefore not kept informed of the Wren's whereabouts. Why this sudden interest in Wren Cornwall's duties?
Well, sir, I've had an invitation from some old friends of the Mater's, and I was thinking of taking Judy.
Oh, why not take Heather?
Well, it's for Saturday week, you see, sir, and Heather is on duty that weekend.
Oh. Well, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of asking Judy out that Saturday.
But you're duty officer that weekend.
Well, I thought I'd ask you to do it for me.
Well, I can't very well, sir. I'm expecting to take Judy out.
Just a minute, I'm getting confused. What is this invitation, anyway?
It's in Northampton, sir. It's the Northampton Horse and Hound Harriers Hunt Ball and Get-Together.
How on earth did you get mixed up with that lot?
Well, the mater knows the Plankworthies, you see. And their daughter, Melissa, was in Gosport recently on holiday, and I lent her my bike.
How kind.
Yes. Odd, though, when it came back, it had a dirty great lump of chewing gum inside one of the tires.
Oh, gracious. Come in.
Excuse me, sir. I was wondering if I could have a 48-hour pass for Saturday week with a railway warrant made out to Northwest.
No, Chief. Nice of you to ask. Good morning. Bug turn. Quick march. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Halt, dismiss, and carry on. You were saying, Mr. Phillips?
I don't remember, sir, but I'll lay 6 to 4. Pertwee will be back inside 5 minutes.
Really? I give it 3 minutes at maximum. They were both wrong. 1.5. Come in.
Excuse me again, sir. It's about the men's shoes, sir.
Men's shoes?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's been a rough old lot flying about lately, sir. Yeah, and I thought instead of reporting it through the usual channels, it might save a bit of time if I went up to Northampton and had a quiet word with the manufacturers. You know what I mean, sir? I mean, in business, the personal touch don't half count at a time like this, sir. So I thought if I could have a pass and a railway one at the Saturday week, I mean, I'd be only too pleased to make it my duty to chat him on the subject.
No, Chief.
No?
No.
Oh.
Very thoughtful of you, though. Bad turn. Yes. Quick march.
No,
left,
sir,
right, left, right, left, right, left. Halt, dismiss. Carry on.
About my long-lost brother, sir, I just found out, sir, that next week he's playing for the Northampton Academical, sir. And it seemed a grand opportunity for a family reunion, so if I could have a pass.
No,
sir,
Chief.
Lummy, I thought you were going to shut his nose in the door.
You puts his nose round it once more, I shall. It's funny that he seems to want to go to Northampton next Saturday as well.
Perhaps he's got an invitation to the hunt ball, too.
Now, if he has, he'd probably turn up in hunting pink, complete with Swisher for his nag. Can you imagine it?
Yes, I can, sir. Sir.
What?
Do you mind if I ring up my tailor and cancel a certain order I gave this morning, sir?
What? Oh, bother. I wish I hadn't said anything now.
Then I think I'll go and try and find Judy.
You're dicing with trouble a bit, aren't you? Not that I'd say anything to Heather, of course.
Oh, no, sir. Of course not.
Still, she might easily find out that you've taken Judy, by accident, naturally.
Oh, naturally. I've thought of that. I'm going to explain it to both of them in a way that will keep them both perfectly happy. You leave that to me, sir.
I'd certainly rather.
Hello, Heather. Is old Thunderguts in his office?
He is. He's been sending stuff out for me to type all morning like a factory trying to step up its export drive.
I'd better not stay long, then. I just picked up my pass for tomorrow.
Oh, are you going home?
No, didn't Leslie tell you? I'm going to Northampton. Pity you couldn't go, but you wouldn't have enjoyed it much, would you?
Well, I wasn't even asked, actually.
Well, I don't suppose he bothered to mention it, knowing you can't dance.
Can't dance?
Well, not the modern stuff. You know, like rock.
Well, it's news to me that Mr. Phillips can.
Oh, he's mad about rock.
Well, he probably thinks it's a stick of peppermint you can eat.
He did explain about going to Northampton, didn't he?
Oh, yes. But I think I must have misunderstood some of the details. I thought he had to attend a sort of sports day at his grandmother's old school.
I expect he was trying to be kind. He explained why you didn't dance, of course.
Oh, did he?
I think it's awful how some parents carried on in those days. Fancy making you be indoors by 6:30 every night.
I beg your pardon?
Then not being able to wear nylons or makeup until you were 21, and having to make cigarettes out of brown paper and cabbage leaves because they took all your wages. Oh, it must have been gruesome.
Well, I was allowed threepence a week pocket money, and Father repaired my clogs for nothing.
I know, but it's no life, is it? Coming into the services must have been a big break for you.
Oh, it was. It was like stepping out of the darkness and into the sun for the first time, just as if a door had opened.
Morning, girls. Any messages?
Not yet, but give me time and I'll have one for you, Daddy-o.
What do you mean, Daddy? Oh, Lummy.
Something troubling you, Mr. Phillips?
He does look a bit pale, doesn't he?
Well, perhaps he's been smoking cigarettes made out of brown paper and cabbage leaves.
Now, Heather, I can explain.
Don't bother. I've got a lot of work to do and I have to be in by 6:30.
Oh. Yes, I was forgetting.
By the way, Leslie, I've just seen the chief, and he says we can have a lift up to Northampton in his car.
Really? Well, that's jolly. In his what?
Oh, didn't you know he's got a new Fosdyke 3-litre sports?
He's pinched it.
Oh, yeah, my reaction precisely, but he hasn't. I've seen the receipt. He tells me that one of his relatives won the pools and shared it amongst the family.
A likely story. What I know of the Pertwees, they wouldn't share a bus shelter in a monsoon.
What the blue bistling blazes is all this noise about out here? I can't hear myself think.
Well, I shouldn't bother then. Jolly nice of you, sir. Jolly nice. You are just in time.
Oh, it's you two, is it? I might have known.
You wanted to see us, sir?
Yes, I do, and it's extremely urgent. Come into my office.
Right, sir. Cheerio, girls. See you later. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that.
Come on, Casanova.
It'll be a pleasure, sir.
You said it was urgent, sir. If it's about C.P.O. Pertwee's sudden wealth, it's as much a mystery to us as...
Never mind C.P.O. Pertwee. This isn't exactly a naval matter. Number one, Mr. Phillips, I need your help. I'm facing a most terrible domestic crisis.
We know, sir. We've met her several times.
You know, I don't think it's going to be your day.
It never is, actually, sir.
Gentlemen, friends, I hesitate to say this, but, well, I
I have reason to suspect that my dear wife, Ramona, has found another man.
Good gracious.
But that's ridiculous, sir. I mean, what other man would be clot enough to... you know, you were dead right, sir. It's not my day.
No, surely there must be some mistake, sir.
No, I'm afraid not. She keeps making excuses for going out every night. It started about 10 days ago. She told me she was going to the Plaza Majestic Cinema to see Carry On, Deck Chair Man. After she'd gone out, I looked up the times of showing in the local paper so that I'd know when she'd be back. It was then that I realized she'd been fibbing to me. There isn't a Plaza Majestic Cinema.
God.
Yeah, even so, I shouldn't think there's anything in that, sir.
What about the other nights? 5 times she's told me she's going to visit her cousin Edith.
Well, that sounds harmless enough, sir.
I know, but for the past 5 years, her cousin Edith has lived in Peru.
Well, perhaps British Railways are running cheap excursions.
No matter how terrible it is, I've got to know the truth about Ramona. Now, she's going out again tomorrow night. She says it's a meeting of the East Gosport Good Neighbor and Fellow Ratepayers Knitting Guild.
Oh, perhaps she really is.
Tomorrow is Saturday. They meet on Tuesdays. And in any case, she can't knit.
Oh, no, of course not. She doesn't have to, does she? I mean, you have to darn your own... Oh, socks. What do you want us to do, actually, sir?
Follow her.
What? Really, sir, I don't think
please,
I...
Please, number one, I've got to know what's breaking up the happy home. I must know where she goes.
I suppose you couldn't follow her yourself without giving away that, that you're suspicious.
Huh? Well, it's not that exactly. Saturday night is when I have to do the ironing.
What a shame. What a shame it isn't tonight. I've got to go to the Hunt Ball tomorrow.
You mean you won't be able to follow her?
No, I meant that if you did the ironing tonight, sir, you could have bound a crease in my best uniform.
What? I tell you what, sir. I'll get Lieutenant Bates to give me a hand if you're sure this trailing is a good idea. If he was smart, Mr. Phillips would volunteer to stay instead of joyriding in the chief's car with a wren who I imagine by now has discovered just... what sort of a line he's been shooting.
Oh, lummy, I've forgotten. They'll both be waiting outside, swapping notes on Phillips's fables.
Have a nice weekend, Mr. Phillips.
I must say, this is a lush piece of car, Chief.
Yeah, well, it'll do till I get the new model.
But I thought this was a new model.
Oh, hardly, sir. It's a week old.
Practically ready for the scrap heap. Heather tells me you had a car once, Leslie. What happened to
it? Oh, it was a great tragic, miss. Oh, yeah, great tragic. After he'd done the first 700,000 miles in it, he decided to take that little label running in, please pass off the rear window, and the back of the body fell off.
Well, that's not true. It was only the luggage boot. Anyway, I'd still like to know how you can afford to run this thing.
Well, I told you, sir, it was this legacy from our dear white-bearded old grandpa.
But you told me you dabbled on the stock exchange.
Yes, now I've just remembered you told number one a relative of yours had won the pools and shared it out.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, well, you see, I mean, yeah, well, that's it.
What is?
Oh, the faintest idea. Well, hang on. Wait a minute. Yeah, my dear white-bearded old grandfather won £5 on the pools. See? Mm. Yeah, this'll do. Yeah, yeah. The shock killed him. So he left it to me and I bought some shares which rocketed overnight and here we are motoring in the Fosdiques. Yeah. How's that?
That's not bad. Not bad. In the time.
Thank you, sir. Mm,
not bad at all.
Leslie, perhaps this is a silly question, but as your map reader, do you have any idea how much further it is?
From where?
From here.
Well, where's here?
I knew it was a silly question.
Stone me, Mr. Phillips, stone me. You've got the perishing map. You're the one that selected the route.
No panic, Pertwee. I've got it. I've got it here. Now, let's
good.
See now.
That's, right.
We turned left, didn't we?
Yes. That's right.
Then there was the railway bridge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, well, I reckon we've got about another 150 miles to go.
Well, that's not bad, is it, sir? No. We've been going about 2 hours, and the old journey was only 137 miles to start with.
I mean, if you ask me, sir, we'd be lucky to get to the Hunt Ball in time for the last waltz with a horse.
Any signs of life in the house yet, Mr. Bates?
Not really. An ironing board just walked past the front room windows.
That'll be Captain Povey.
Ah, just a minute. There's a light in the hall. I think the front door is opening.
Well, get back round this corner or she might spot us. We just have to guess how long it takes her to get to the front gate and then try to catch up. Careful now.
Have a nice nip, my love.
What? Oh, yes. Back you go inside, Henry, and wipe your great hoof marks off me coconut matin as you go.
Very well, my love.
You better iron my things first. And for heaven's sake, think what you're doing with Miss Smalls.
Oh, certainly, my love.
I'm not standing for you guffawing all over the place because I've put on a little something which is none of your business and found it's got great triangles burned through its essentials.
I'll try and be careful, my love.
Good boy. Carry on.
Good. She's turning right. Let her get ahead a bit, and then we'll follow.
I say, isn't this exciting? I feel like Bulldog Drummond.
Do you? I feel like Charlie Pease. Come on, let's see where she leads us. Wait. She's stopping.
I just don't understand this at all. We're in the dockyard. Why should she want to come down here?
Goodness knows. Unless the other man is another officer.
There's someone lurking in the shadows there, down by that rowing boat.
Yes, sir, there is. Doesn't look too good to me. Wonder who the blazes it is.
She's seen him. She's going over.
That's right, madam. Step this way. Last trip for tonight coming up.
Good gracious, it's Goldstein.
This way with a chance of a lifetime. Come and join in the frivolity and lose a fortune. No, I mean win a fortune. You've got every chance because nobody's won a flaming penny up to now. Come and see the novelty of the age. There's not another like it in the country.
That'll be quite enough of that. You can cast off. I'm here.
Now, don't you be so impatient, missus. I'm supposed to collect a full boatload.
There are two more here.
Well, hurry up, then. We've just got time before it starts. The new sensation of the age.
Before what starts, Goldstein?
Floating bingo, of course.
Good gracious. I say.
Oh, blimey. Oh, it was just my little joke, sir. I was making it all up, sir. Oh, and talking of things being made up, sir, about my promotion, I don't want to be difficult.
Goldstein, you can forget about your promotion for quite a while. Who's behind all this? C.P.O. Pertwee, I presume?
Well, in a manner of speaking, I'm not saying, and, yes, he is.
So that's where he's been getting all the money to buy cars and things. Floating bingo?
Just a minute, you can't possibly be playing bingo in that rowing boat. Must be aboard some other bigger craft. He wouldn't have dared. Would he? Wait till I see Pertwee on Monday when he gets back.
You know, I rather think you won't have to wait that long. That sounds like his car now. In fact, it is.
A right mystery tour that was, I must say.
Well, it's hardly my fault there was a bit missing on the signpost, was it?
Ah, good evening, you three. How was Northampton?
We wouldn't know, sir. We've never been anywhere near there. At least not so far as we know. Look, first the map goes. Then after another 4 hours, a certain gent sees only half the signpost and says, oh, it's only another 3 miles.
And was it?
Not exactly, sir, no. When we got there, we found it wasn't Northampton. It was Southampton.
Oh, well, cheer up, Chief. You're back in time for a quick game of floating bingo, aren't you?
Yeah, there is that. A game of what?
Floating bingo, Chief.
I say, that sounds jolly interesting.
Then step right this way, sir. There's a... No, sir. I beg your pardon, sir. No. Don't you have nothing to do with bingo. No, sir. Look, it's a crying outrageous. It's a crying outrageous. That's what it is, sir. Bingo. Beware the gambling urge before it's too late, Mr. Phillips, sir. Turn back to the sun, whilst there's still time to escape from the darkness of greed. Don't follow the tip to the inquisitivation of the downward path to hell. Don't turn your back.
What's he going on about?
I'm not sure, but I think the sooner we get aboard Troutbridge, the sooner we'll know.
Get a launch and get us out to the ship.
And off we go for another long ride, so have your cards ready, please. Don't forget to pass the word to all your friends, providing they're not coppers, that is, that this is the only floating bingo in the country. Bags of concentration now. Watch your cards, and here is the little rascal that can make your fortune. And it's clickety-click number 66. And we are all set for the next one, which is...
Number one.
No, it isn't number one. Yeah, and for the next song in our community song evening... Let's hear you all let rip with My Old Man's a Goodnight All.
Come back here!
Come here, you balloon-based bingo baller. The game's over.
It had better not be. I've won. Bung hell!
Well,
Lummy, it's Mrs. Purdy. What are you doing aboard?
Playing bingo like everyone else, I imagine.
But that's awful. She's supposed to be out with another man.
Who's that? It's a chorus.
Hey, you there! Fatty, where are my winnings? My card's full and I demand to know what I've won.
All right, this is arranged. Hey, where you are.
Nonsense, I demand my winnings.
Stone me, that's going to help. She can't have won anyway.
Why not?
Well, a slight clinical error, sir. The numbers we call out and the numbers they got in their cards don't quite sort of match up.
Lummy, no wonder you made so much so fast.
I'll see you about this later, Chief.
What? No, please.
I most certainly will not. Not until I've had my winnings.
I'll take that car, thank you, madam. And I must ask you to accompany me to the station, as I feel sure you can assist me in my inquiries.
What? How very dull.
And is there a Mr. Pertwee about, please?
No.
I shall want him to.
He's gone to Northampton to sell his motor.
You nip off now, you might catch him up.
Hello, Sub-Lieutenant Bingo speaking. I mean, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips here.
I thought you were in Northampton. This is Captain Povey. Is there any news of my wife?
Oh, rather, sir. It's all right. She's been arrested.
What?
Yes, the police caught her and CPO Pertwee, you see.
They what? Oh, no, you don't mean it was him.
Oh, no, sir. No, it's not like that, sir. Not like that at all. No, let me explain.
Hurry along with that call, sir. There's a policeman waiting.
Right, I shan't be... A what? What? No, but I wasn't playing.
Yeah, what the devil's going on?
That's what they all say. This way, sir, if you please.
Hey, but I wasn't. I demand to see Perry Mason.
Hello. Ramona, are you there? Come back. All is forgiven. Come back. I've done you small. Come back, please. Come back.
And that was Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Able Seaman Johnson was played by Ronnie Barker, Captain Povey was Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Lieutenant Bates was Michael Bates, and Taffy Goldstein was played by Taniel Evans. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.